I've got to say, you're looking radiant. Congratulations on your impending maternity.
Yes, thank you. Second child, and first child Mia is as excited as I've ever seen anybody.
Does
so
she
very
know
happy.
Whether she's getting a little brother or a little sister yet?
No, she doesn't, and we're not telling anybody, but she's adamant it has to be a girl,
okay.
And she doesn't want a boy. So I've tried to explain to her that we don't get to choose these things, but she'll be great either way. She'll be a great big sister.
So you don't know what it is, or you don't want to know either?
Rod and I know, but we're not sharing
okay,
that
well,
news, Mum, so you won't drag that out of me.
Okay, fair enough. But when's the due date?
The 25th of June.
Okay.
Yeah, so I won't miss very much Parliament. I think I'll miss 3 days and then be back for the August budget.
Well, best of luck with it. I hope it goes as well as possibly can for you. On the subject of election reform, election donation reform, you've been talking about this for a while now. You want the laws in Tasmania to be transparent so that we, the public, the voters, can see who's spending money on elections and where it's coming from. And you've been badgering the government for this about this for quite a while, and finally you've got through to them. But from what I was reading about what they plan to do with it, I don't think it really goes far enough.
It doesn't go as far as we'd like
no.
either. It's a good start, and it builds on some of the work that began in 2018. The things we do like about it is that it increases transparency, so donations will be disclosed not as frequently as we would like. They're talking about every 6 months, but more regularly during an election campaign, which is when it is really important. That the threshold for donations at which they are disclosable is lowered to between $1,000 and $5,000. We'd prefer it to be $1,000 because we think people deserve to know who's contributing to election campaigns and political parties. The thing that's really missing, though, is caps on expenditure. So it doesn't limit the amount a person, either as an individual candidate or a party, can spend at election time. So it really doesn't address the problem we think exists, which is the biggest wallet wins.
Yeah.
It should be a contest of ideas.
Yeah. One of the other things too was they're looking at the amount of money that can be taken out of a parliamentarian's allowance to actually spend on election campaigns as well.
There's a few technical issues like that, which we'll be waiting to see how they're addressing the legislation. The Premier has committed to that legislation coming out for public consultation around Easter time to be tabled in the Parliament during the winter session. So we won't see the detail of how any of those recommendations are actually going to be enforced until we see the legislation.
Okay. Well, obviously people should make submissions and have input into it, because it's our money at the end of the day that's being spent if it's part of a politician's allowance.
Well, that's true, but also I think people should take an interest in it, because it's really fundamental to how our democracy operates and how elections are operating as well in this state. We don't have state-based donation disclosure laws. We rely on the federal ones, and they're really lax. So it is about time that we did this, and it's good to see the government moving on it. We just need to make sure we get it right now.
And we need to move quickly too. I guess you'd really want to see it done before the next election.
I think the whole community would.
Yeah.
I think the community's ready to see much greater transparency in the political system, especially when it comes to our elections.
Now, I didn't ask you why you're here today. You didn't just come to see me. You're actually on the Northwest Coast for a jobs forum, which has happened at Devonport earlier today. What was that all about?
Yeah, at the footy club there. It's a good opportunity for us to come and talk about skills and training in the region. It's something we've heard a lot from industry and business groups, that they still can't find the right skilled staff. Yet Tassie has one of the worst unemployment rates in the country and the worst youth unemployment rate in the country. So there's a bit of a problem there in matching people with jobs. So with these jobs forums, we're working with local business groups. So today it was the disability and aged care sector, who have a lot of vacancies, around what sort of workers they're looking for and what are the barriers. And we've got a free TAFE policy that would support people to access those training courses without having to find the money. For instance, to do aged care, you need a minimum qualification, which is a Certificate 3.
Yep.
That's mandated by the federal government. But the cost to undertake that course is about $3,000. And there are also caps on places. So we need to remove those barriers, address those workforce shortages, connect people with work. And obviously in the caring sector, that also means better outcomes for our aged care and elderly in our community.
And when you look at aged care and disability workers, their pay is rubbish. They're one of the lowest paid jobs for one of the most important jobs, I reckon, as well. And they can ill afford $3,000 for a TAFE course.
Well, that's exactly right. We do need to also value the workers who are operating in the care sector and recognise that for a lot of people who are interested in a career change that might go into the caring banking sector, they haven't got a spare $3,000 to find.
No, exactly.
And that's a minimum cost too, so it can be much greater than that once you add on childcare, if you might need to make arrangements for that, transport and travel, food. So all of those things add up and can make the cost of getting a qualification too expensive for some people.
It'll be a bit ironic if you were doing childcare and you had to get childcare for your children. Basically, you know, your wage would be just paying the childcare, so there'd be no point, would there?
That's exactly right. And so I see that happen to a lot of women who want to re-enter the workforce but only do it part-time because the cost of childcare eats into their salary. So it's just not economical for them.
Something else I wanted to talk to you about today. Recently, the Legislative Council announced an inquiry into rural health, and obviously that's important to us in this part of the world because the rural sector is so much a big part of the Northwest Coast. And we're finding out now that, or we've known for a while, I guess, that mental health issues are big in rural and regional areas. There's a great campaign called Are You Bogged, Mate? Have you heard of that one?
I have. Yeah. That rural's running. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is overdue too as well, this inquiry, isn't it?
It is, and I commend Ruth Forrest, who's the chair of the inquiry, for the work that she's doing, and Dr. Bastian Seidel, who's the Labor Shadow Minister, who's the deputy chair of the inquiry. They work together on the terms of reference, and they'll be really instrumental in gathering evidence from across the state. So if people do want to make a submission, they can jump on the Parliament website. There's a tab there for committees so you can see the details, but also jump on Facebook pages of myself, Bastian, Ruth, any member of Parliament. I'm sure be happy to help anybody in the community understand how they can make a submission. The more people we hear from, the better the picture we can build, and then we can address the problems that have been raised.
Yeah, and this isn't a Labor or a Liberal thing. It's actually the Legislative Council, so it's done by all sides of politics.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's not political at all. It is the best way for us to hear evidence from the community about what's working and what's not working. Mm. And sadly, we hear too frequently about what's not working. Access to GPs can be really hard, or the wait can be 3 weeks. Ambulance response times are really poor and ramping at our hospitals, and of course the waits in our emergency department. But all of those things are linked, because if people can't access healthcare where they live, particularly in our regional and rural areas, then they are forced to call an ambulance and go to the emergency department. And we want to help prevent that by providing care where people live in a more timely manner.
What power does a committee like that have? Obviously they'll have the inquiry, they'll go away and they'll come back with some recommendations. What happens after that?
Well, then it's up to the government to either accept or reject the recommendations. Mm-hmm. That's typically how it works. The committee is looking to report in August, so that'll align with the budget.
Yep.
So it could be quite important timing. And it's also well before the next election's due as well. So it'll help to inform policy of all parties, I'm quite sure of it. But really, at the end of the day, any parliamentary inquiry that operates in Tasmania, once they hand down a report, the government has to respond to those recommendations.
Yeah,
so it's up to the government to pick up that.
I like the idea of having a specifically rural health inquiry, because even though a lot of the problems are common, you know, as you mentioned, with ambulances and elective surgery and things like that, there are things that are peculiar to regions. And a good example would be King Island Dental Care. It's catered for by the Royal Flying Doctor Service, of all things.
Yes.
Yeah. So there are, you know, very different and unique challenges there.
That's exactly right. And we do see a lot of rural services provided by the Royal Flying Doctor Service. They're not necessarily flying there, but they've got their dental vans on the road that go around those rural communities. And that's important because that's about delivering healthcare where people live, which I think we have to put a greater emphasis on rather than expecting people to travel to the cities.
I look forward to seeing the recommendations from that report. And once again, I've got to say thank you for popping in today. It's always nice to catch up with you. And again, congratulations on your impending maternity. But thanks today, Bec. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Martin.